Hi, I'm Renee Colvert.
And I'm Alexis Preston.
And this is An Animal Saved My Life, a podcast about the incredible animals who change our lives forever. Alexis, oof, the pandemic.
Yeah.
Tough time for extroverts. Tough time for dog people.
Hey, it's been hard for introverts too, you know? Cat people have feelings.
You know what? Fair. We're all kind of a mix anyway, right? I mean, inside every dog person, there's a little cat person.
Like directly inside of them. Okay.
Okay. So this week, I have a story about a woman. Her name is Hoshonda Sanders. And I think she's one of those introverted extroverts. Like one of those people who says they're an introvert, but then when you talk to them, they are so lovely and outgoing, you would never know it.
Oh, like cat people who say they aren't dog people, but then you catch them napping with a dog.
Right. So Hoshonda, she's a writer, and she works for a university in New York City. And like most people around the world, her life changed dramatically in 2020.
It was like a very dark cloud looming over the city. I very clearly remember the Surgeon General's warning. It's been overseas, but very soon it's coming to the U.S. I remember that moment very distinctly and being like, what is about to happen? In my world, you know, I felt like, okay, I have all the things that I need. I'm fine. But outside, around me, you know, New York City itself is the epicenter, the Bronx in particular, because of its demographics, because of the large number of essential workers who live here. It felt pretty dangerous to be outside.
In the late winter of 2020, New York City was transformed by COVID-19. The sounds of bustling pedestrians and city life had faded. Instead, sirens filled the air. Hoshonda only left her apartment for groceries and solitary walks. Other than that, she didn't see anyone for months.
I live by myself. It felt like good compared to what I was hearing other people talking about, quarantining with people and families full. And, you know, I felt like I lucked out, but I definitely felt like, oh, maybe I have too much space. Maybe it's like too empty in here for me. I felt like, oh my God, the world is so preoccupied. I mean, something could happen to me and no one would know. And that made me feel so much worse about my loneliness than I normally would. I was always a pretty lonely person. I was like a kind of awkward, goofy, quirky child. And I think it just came with the territory. I grew up in New York City, mostly in the 80s and 90s. And I was raised sort of as an only child of a single mom who had some mental health issues that we would learn about later. She was undiagnosed and unmedicated with bipolar and borderline personality disorder. I just knew that I loved her. I knew that she was doing the best that she could. And also that I just had to figure it out.
As a little kid, Hoshonda had to act like an adult. And she spent a lot of time on her own after school, reading at the library and kind of just roaming around the neighborhood.
It was a big book nerd, hung out at the library quite a lot. And I really identified a lot with stray cats. There were a lot of them in the Bronx at that time. Like, we had a lot in common. You know, they were kind of these sweet animals that had basically been abandoned and left to fend for themselves. Because cats didn't speak and because there were so many, who were just out in the street, you know, seeing them in that predicament made me feel like, oh, okay, well, I'm voiceless and they're also voiceless. I'm not a psychologist, but I probably did a ton of projecting onto them in terms of, you know, if I care for you, then maybe like the universe will see this and I will be cared for as well. Smuggling him into a one-bedroom apartment wasn't exactly successful. I mean, I didn't get very close to the bedroom before my mother was like, is that a cat in your backpack? I was like, yes, it is, actually. But I, you know, sort of had to make a choice between taking care of a pet or taking care of myself. People that I knew who had cats or who had pets in their homes were people who seemed to have more stability than I did.
On top of everything, Hoshanda and her mom just moved around too much. The idea of having a dog was even more out of reach.
Dogs to me felt like kind of an extravagance, like they were associated with luxury. So I would see these larger dogs down there in Manhattan where all the rich people were. I subconsciously did get the message that if you have a certain income, if you have more stable parents, then you can have pets. This is also where, like, sort of having a consciousness of racial differences in terms of how there were some dogs and some breeds in particular that I knew were used in the service of terror as it related to people who look like me. I mean, I remember seeing different civil rights documentaries, watching the way that police dogs were sort of used to terrorize Black people.
Throughout American history, white people have used dogs to control and harm Black people, from slaves to modern-day protesters. Even though she was an animal lover at heart, Hoshanda picked up on this violent history and got the message. Friendly companion dogs and lassie types were for white people, people with money. So Hoshanda identified more as a cat person and kept trying to save the stray kittens off the street. But they couldn't afford them. Hanging out at the library was a less demanding pastime, and books became Hoshanda's other escape.
Writing was my salvation. It was my friend. It was, you know, all the things that most people get when they're younger from having relationships with either relatives or people in their family, those developmental aspects of life. I got those things from writing.
Hoshanda started with journaling, then attempts at short stories and poems and screenplays. By the time she was a teenager, she started seeing it as more than a hobby.
So I wrote about what it was like to sometimes be homeless in New York City as a kid and to also spend all the time by myself that I did. My mom was around, to be clear, but, you know, she had to work and she didn't have money for childcare. And, you know, so there just were all these gaps. So I just wrote about that perspective. To be in this wealthy city and to sort of be at the bottom of that hierarchy. I ended up winning like $500, and it came like just around Christmas time. It was very like, It's a Wonderful Life or whatever. So it was perfect though, because it meant that I could buy it, my mom and myself, coats, and I could buy us food. But that was, you know, the first indication to me that I could write for money. I got to be a little bit more serious about actually becoming a writer.
After the break, Hoshanda's writing talent takes her away from the Bronx for the first time. When she was a young adult, Hoshanda boarded her first flight. She got a newspaper fellowship to write for different publications all over the country, from Texas to California. She flew around the U.S., working in different places and honing her writing chops.
despite my best efforts, I replicated a lot of my early experience as an adult. So I moved around a lot as a kid, and then, you know, in search of stability, I was also moving around as a lot as an adult. And yeah, it was definitely pretty lonely.
Hushanda ended up settling in Austin, Texas for quite a few years. In the evening, she worked as a night cops reporter, covering shootings and other mayhem. By day, she went to grad school. Life was pretty good, but then she had a few very difficult years.
I got news that my father had died by suicide in April of 2010. My mother died from stage 4 cervical cancer at the beginning of 2012. People, I think, generally try to avoid the topic of suicide, and I think we all can just agree that it is shocking and it is sad, and that's it. When it comes to your mother and mother loss, things get a little bit more complicated because everyone has, for better or worse, really strong feelings associated with their mothers. I was fortunate that I had people who were checking in on me, but there was a period of time where I was just so, it was such an intense grieving and mourning period for me that I wasn't able to be as social as I once was.
As Hushanda grieved, she realized she didn't want to spend her life so far away from her roots in New York City. So after 8 years in Austin, she moved back to the Bronx.
And it was feeling pretty good. It was pretty decent. I mean, I definitely had some moments where I felt like, huh, this is not as happening as it seems on TV. You know, it's like, I mean, it's hard to meet people, you know, when you're an adult. How do you develop a social circle, or these people that I work out with and, you know, these people that I work with, but like, are there people that I feel connected to that I would call friends? You know, like most people, I think, who live in cities like New York, I mean, the way that I cope with loneliness is to work.
Hushanda threw herself into work and her writing projects, and she was starting to get settled. Of course, 2020 had other plans.
I very clearly remember the Surgeon General's warning. Basically, he was saying, it's been overseas, but very soon it's coming to the U.S. I remember that moment very distinctly and being like, what is about to happen?
After being away for years and moving back to New York to reconnect with her roots, Hushanda was now living through the most antisocial time in history. The Bronx was a ghost town. She couldn't see her friends. She didn't really have a relationship with her neighbors.
I think any single woman in a major city can tell you that she's had that moment where she's like, you know, like, what if I choked on something? Like, who would find me, you know? You know, and there's FaceTime and, you know, I was Instagramming, but it just made me feel like maybe if I had COVID, who was really going to be there? Back when Facebook and other social media were still new, you know, there was a lot of conversation about like the benefit of having a so-called loose tie. In these times, it kind of felt like if you're a loose tie, like you're actually like a loose tie. Like you're not, we're not really friends. Like you're not going to call me and check on me. And, you know, everyone's just sort of kind of folding into themselves.
New York City had become the epicenter of the pandemic. And the Bronx was the epicenter of the epicenter. Hushanda counted her blessings and threw herself into work and writing. Until one day, she met someone totally unexpected. Stick around. Hushanda weathered the beginning of the pandemic through her work. She was also writing a novel on the side. By late summer, there was some reprieve from the lockdown, and New Yorkers were allowed to socialize if they were outdoors. On a Saturday in early September, she met up with some friends for drinks.
It was my mother's birthday. She would have been 80, and she loved to call me on her birthday before I was like awake. So it'd be like 5 o'clock in the morning. She'd call and be like, wish me happy birthday. So I always celebrate her birthday just sort of instinctively because I'm like, oh no, it's mom's birthday. She would want me to be wishing her happy birthday right now. I decided to hang out with some friends and had quite a bit to drink. And at some point, one of my friends, I sent him to go get some more drinks, and he comes back to the table with this beautiful puppy. And he's like, I can't find the owner for this puppy. Like, he doesn't have tags. He doesn't seem to have a microchip. I think this is your dog. And he's like looking at me, and I'm like, no, I don't have a dog. And he's like, no. I mean, I think this puppy mm-hmm. is for you. And I was like, you do? So he just like put Bendito in my arms, and I just said, oh, Bendito, you know, like when older Hispanic ladies will be like, ay, Bendito, you know, there's like, oh, so cute, you know, it translates into a blessing. And so that's the first thing I said.
Hoshanda and her friends looked around for the owner, but no luck. So while they waited to hear if anyone was looking for Bendito, Hoshanda brought him home for the night.
Yeah, I was trying to like be real detached and cool and mellow. You know, it's like I got the puppy food, but I just got one bag. It's a small bag. Here's a blanket. I'm going to be in the bed. And he's just like, yeah, good luck, lady.
The next morning, Hoshanda woke up with a small puppy with golden fur snuggled up beside her. He looked like a teddy bear in disguise.
He also is a little bit like a Muppet. He's like a warm, cuddly, alive Muppet.
Yeah.
it felt like waking up out of a movie. Like, it's, yeah. You know, it's like The Hangover, but like a cute version, you know, like, it's like, okay, yes. I went out with my friends, and then I woke up this morning and there was a puppy in my bed. You know, it's like, what happened here? You know, it's six o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm like, you're super cute. I can't get too attached. But as soon as I posted him on Facebook, my friends were like, oh my God, you have a dog now. Yeah. Yep. Like, nobody was like, oh, let's find his owners, or like, they were just like, oh, God sent you a dog. And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, your mom gave you a gift on her birthday.
Bendito had no collar, no tattoo, no microchip. So Hoshanda had no idea if he had owners. But nobody had replied to her post.
After like a couple days, I was like, I think I'm going to take a picture with you. Like, maybe we should have like a little selfie. I was like, are you down with that? And just, you know, I think like most people's pets, he like looks at me like he really understands me. So I just talk to him like he's a person. So, you know, he just like came and sat next to me on the couch, and I was like, all right, cool. You ready for this selfie? And, you know, he like put his paw on me, and then like he licked my face, and he kept licking my face. You know, that was the first moment I was like, oh, you're like my little buddy. I realized how neurotic I must have been before, because I suddenly just felt like my blood pressure was lower. It was like I was on vacation or something. I can just be mellow, you know? It was weird. It was like, oh, there's this other being around.
Hoshanda was learning the ropes of puppy ownership, the frequent messes, the very pokey teeth, the slow learning. But she knew Bendito was doing his best, and he might have come from a tough background.
I realized how, even when I was a kid, I had always been kind of this very adult-like child. And as an adult, just a little overly concerned with other people's opinions, to the point where, like, I don't really play, you know? I'm not, like, real, like, oh, yeah, let's just be goofy. I don't really let that side of myself out very much. And so, but with Bendito, I felt like, okay, it's just me and you, and you're like totally new. I feel like I am like full on goofball around him almost all the time. you know, a lot of chasing him around the apartment, getting him to jump really high. I talk to him in, you know, puppy voice. I call him Boo Boo. And then on another level, people around me were super friendly.
In public, Bendito's got to move. He locks eyes with people going by, tilts his head, and reaches out his little paw. Neighbors, construction workers, restaurant owners, all these people Hoshonda had never talked to started coming up to her.
People will be like, oh my gosh, you're so cute. And I'm like, isn't he? And they're like, what's your name? I'm like, his name is Bendito. It's like, oh, Benito? And I'm like, no, Bendito. Oh, aren't you cute? Oh my gosh, how old are you? And I'm like, do you want to direct those questions to the person who can actually answer them? Or would you just want me to just like leave you with them for a second so that you guys can talk? He's just so much more approachable than I am. Because he's like small and adorable and he's like openly friendly. Like I could be trash, you know what I mean? Like, how do you know? But like they see him and they're like, oh my God, he's the best. And therefore I am the best. And I'm like, oh, I feel affirmed. Thank you so much. But people who hadn't talked to me in the 3 years that I've lived here, all of a sudden were talking to me. They learned Bendito's name. They know everything about him.
Hoshonda has also made friends through Bendito. Bendito became buddies with a Labradoodle named Yogi in the neighborhood. And now Hoshonda is friends with Yogi's owners.
We live near a place called Hudson Smokehouse. And it's a restaurant actually that opened just as COVID hit. So they've been really working hard to make things work. And one of the owners, Kenny, calls Bendito his little buddy. He goes, hey, there's my little buddy. How's it going, little buddy? It's super cute. And on Saturdays, they make beef ribs. And so he saves the bone so that Bendito can have a fresh bone on Saturday if he wants.
There's also a moving company near Hoshonda's place, and she's used to seeing the employees out on the street.
I haven't actually ever really connected with any of them ever in the entire time I've lived here. It's been 3.5 years. So one day I was sitting outside the laundromat with Bendito, and one of these guys comes by, and he is like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I've been saving this for you. And he pulls out this leash. This beautiful, like, sort of thick woven leash. And he's like, I noticed that the leash that you have for Bendito had some nicks in it, that he had been biting it. So I got this for you. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the sweetest thing that's ever happened to me. No one ever gives me stuff. I was like, oh wait, it's not for me, it's for the puppy. But you know, like, thanks so much. It's amazing. In the spring, I felt really isolated and alienated and cut off as the entire city was being upended and the entire world really. I felt pretty disoriented and very lonely. With Bendito here, I do feel this greater sense of connection to my neighbors, to my neighborhood. There's just this connectedness that pervades my life every day now. And even though we're still living under the social restrictions, it doesn't feel quite as lonely as it did. It actually feels like night and day. What I think I've come to understand about my loneliness is that it was never inescapable. So there was never a moment where I couldn't just tell someone or call someone, and maybe it was my pride or maybe it was my stubbornness. But the thing about having Bendito and a puppy in particular in my life is they kind of represent your natural instinct. Like if you weren't thinking about how people might judge you, how would you respond? You know, would you have the unabashed glee of a 11-month-old puppy? When you are attached to loneliness as part of your identity, it can be hard to give yourself permission to let it go. But I feel like Bendito really has allowed me to let go of that as part of my identity and say, nope, you're a puppy mom. And you are totally into it.
Now, you strike me as such a grounded, logical person, but it does seem very, you know, serendipitous for this dog to arrive on your mom's birthday. Are you available to believe that?
I 100% believe that. Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody wanted a puppy, especially in the pandemic. But yeah, the fact that he just arrived, I guess this is meant to happen. And I felt really fortunate.
Hushanda's love for pets and writing and her reflections on inequality have followed her from childhood into her work as an adult. Among other things, she's written about how animals have transformed her and about the relationship between race and pets.
One of the more liberating things about growing up, becoming mature, having lots of different experiences is finally just coming to the point in my life where I decided to just not believe the stories that other people told me about what I should or shouldn't do. I know that there are people who see me with a puppy and have thoughts about where I am economically, you know, maybe they question my blackness, maybe they don't, you know. But the way that Bendito came into my life, the way that all of the animals that I've been connected to have come into my life has been relatively serendipitous. And that really actually allows me to divest myself even further from this story that, you know, it is kind of this white thing to have this connection to your animal. I don't really believe that. The change in my life has been profound enough that I just feel like it transcends race, and that old narrative gives too much credit to any other ignorant ways of thinking about who should have a dog and who shouldn't.
If Bendito could talk, what do you think he would say to you?
You know, I think he would say, if I were a malicious puppy, I would completely out you to all of the people in your life and let them know that this is how you behave behind closed doors.
I love it. Just use it to blackmail you.
Yeah, all right. Be like, I don't think they know, because I know. I've heard the way that you talk to the adults on the computer, and right. And how you talk to me when nobody's around, and they're so different. I bet nobody knows that. Nobody.
I love it. It's the best performance I've ever seen, but I do have to tell your friends about it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yep, it's not a secret. It's not going to be a secret anymore. Not anymore. Nope.
The world will know. I love it. And in turn, if you knew that Bendito could understand what you were saying, what would you say to Bendito?
Oh, you are truly, truly a gift. Just a really outstanding, amazing gift.
That was writer and all-around animal lover Hushanda Sanders talking to us from her apartment in the Bronx, New York.
Hold on a second. He's he was just chewing my shoe again.
Sure, of course.
Oh yeah.
That's his job.
Today's episode was produced by Nora Canidas Boydell. Nick Farrago is our managing producer. Story editing by Evan Roberts. Our sound mixer is John Ross. You can learn more about Hushanda's work at our website, hushandasanders.com. That's J-O-S-H-U-N-D-A Sanders.com.
I'm Renee Colvert.
And I'm Alexis Preston.
And you've been listening to An Animal Saved My Life.
Join us next week for another incredible animal story.